You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 8, Episode 22 coming your way this week. Once again, it's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley in your company. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound lighting and AV solutions. It's going to be a bit of an express pod this week, just an awful lot going on, not just in the League of Ireland because we've got Europe, the Cup, the League. It's difficult at the moment with so many teams having different schedules to try and nail people down to get them in for a chat, and also just an awful lot going on personally at the minute. So bit of an express pod for you this week, but hopefully you'll enjoy what we have to say. Gaz, we'll go to what's fresh in the memory at the moment. We're talking just a few minutes after Rovers against Prague up in Tala. First of all, great to see a sold-out attendance there tonight. I was wondering kind of how would this fixture like really capture the imagination, and it clearly did, which is great. Unfortunately, it didn't capture RTE's attention. I know last week we spoke about how the first round tie against the Icelandic team, we were happy enough to let that slide. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on television-wise that you could probably forgive that one. But a game like that tonight should have been on the telly before we even get to the result.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I was kind of relaxed on RTE's position or whoever's position last week. And I think that was fair enough simply because there's so much football on, but the Euros and everything else. But I think with a Champions League qualifier for one of your local teams should be on the telly. There's absolutely zero excuses.
Particularly when this theory was trotted out in the past that RT would only follow the champions in the Champions League competition.
I think the actual line was, to be fair, follow the champions coming towards the end of the league and seeing how they're doing with the defence of the title. Or that's how I remember it. But I will say, it's completely inexcusable. There's no rhyme or reason that this game shouldn't have been on the telly. It's another poor decision from RTE, another, you know, load of shite from them. But, you know, on one hand, you know, you give them credit, or we'll say you accept the fact that they didn't put the game on last week, and I stand by that. I think that was the right decision. But Champions League tie against Sparta Prague, a team that we're well familiar with from, you know, watching European football down through the years. But look, what can you expect from an ass but a kick?
Yeah, look, on the game itself, I think I only kind of really came around to it this morning on what a big task this was for Rovers when I was kind of looking through stuff, stats and facts for work today. I was talking a bit about this game in the studio, and just looking at the resources they have. Like, they'd signed a couple of players for $2 million a piece. They sold a player for $8 million. They had a lad that's on 30k a week in their budget. Like, it's just totally different level of football. But it's so disappointing to see that Shamrock Rovers basically gift wrapped this first leg for Sparta Prague. The goal they give away. How many times have we seen an Irish team do this in Europe down the years? Yeah. Like, we praised Stephen Bradley and Rovers last week for their approach to the Icelandic tie. And I know it's a completely different task altogether, but they went out to Iceland. They were really disciplined, brought it back to Tala, did what they had to do. And maybe they felt tonight, look, this is our one chance. It's the home leg, sold out crowd. We kind of have to go for it a little bit. But the first half was, they were under pressure in the first half, but I was watching it. I didn't think they were under immense pressure. Yeah. They're coming towards half time. You're still in the game. You know, get to half time, keep a tight start of the second half, last 20 minutes, then give it a rattle. But to give away the goal that they did, and then the second goal, I thought Poles was poor for the second one as well. It's just a disappointing way to not only lose the game, but realistically lose the tie.
Yeah, look, I think whatever about losing the tie, saying that now is one thing, but to concede the goal in the way that they did, it screams to me arrogance on one hand, because we're going to play our way and the way we believe in when we're playing, you know, League of Ireland sides. And I might be saying that it's possibly a lack of respect. to the team? I don't think so.
They knew what they were up against there this evening. And as I said, they did adapt their game style last week. Yeah. They were happy to give up possession last week against an Icelandic side. They're never really in that situation in the league where they have less of the ball, but they were happy to adapt to that last week. It's just a mind-boggling decision to try and play out like that at that moment in the game. And they've been duly punished.
They have been duly punished. And even like there was a couple of potential reprieves within that little passage of play where Pratt has scored and they still didn't manage to do it. I'll pass it out into the six-yard box. It's just I'm more frustrated that this has occurred, or that, you know, to concede.
Well, I think this is something you've touched on before as well. Like, there was an error earlier in the game by Sparta Prague when they were trying to play out, and the goalkeeper made a hames of a clearance, and it fell to, I think it was Ferrugia it fell to, wasn't it? And he had the chance to kind of draw on it first time and didn't. Rovers didn't take that chance, whereas when Sparta Prague had that chance, they took it. And that is the difference at this level, is those fine margins.
Yeah, but we're all aware of that. I think the idea of like minimizing those opportunities for your opponent, who you know have the capacity to punish you immediately, I think that's what's kind of harmful in my brain, that they've got to this position, they haven't conceded a stupid goal up to that point, or haven't conceded at all, and then, okay, we're going to do a bit of playing around our box, we're going to start this pricking, and they get completely punished with one failure of a pass. And that's quite frustrating to see that, like, well, yes, probably the vast majority of League of Ireland fans don't want to see Shamrock Rovers do well in Europe at all. But on the other hand, it's, we'll say for myself and maybe yourself as well, would like to see any League of Ireland club do well. It's very frustrating to see that they're shooting themselves in the foot and actually blowing it clean off after doing so well up to that point. So it is very frustrating to see that. You know, I think the clip that's going around on Twitter, I think, I don't know if the league have put it up or ever put it up, it's like 40 seconds long before. So I think there's like 25 seconds of pricking that they do before they concede the goal. And you're just like, you know, just put it away. You know, it's 5 minutes before injury time or before the half time in the first half. And you're like, all I could, when I saw that goal going in, all I could think of was Ethan. 5 minutes before before halftime and 5 minutes after. Hack it away. Just get rid of it and, you know, we'll be okay. We just need to settle ourselves in. And we'll say from a first half perspective, okay, we've done well up to this point. Let's consolidate that. Let's not make any stupid mistakes and make sure that we're going in at nil out of halftime and this is a really positive result. And then we can look positively on the second half. You know, as you said, maybe get to 80 minutes. Okay, maybe, Jesus, we could put a bit of pressure on these lads. And that wasn't possible because we're 2-0 down come that point. So, look, it's frustrating. But look, at the end of the day, most of these ties that they achieve in the Champions League route are bonuses. I'm not going to be too annoyed about it. But it is frustrating at the same time.
Yeah. It's not looking much brighter for them in terms of the Europa League, either Slovan Bratislava or Celje. In the next round, I remember Celje opening up Dundalk a few seasons ago in Europe, Slovan Bratislava. We've seen plenty of them against the likes of Dundalk in the past as well. They're a fairly top tier outfit. So you're probably looking at Rovers now going into that Europa League or that Conference League playoff, and that's really going to make or break their season, because as we know, they're already out of the cup and the league title looks out of their grasp as well. We'll come to the cup matches shortly. We'll just move on to another disappointing League of Ireland result. We spoke about Derry last week, about that first leg result, and you said, look, they have next week. And I think me and you were both confident that they might turn it around and we'd be able to forgive what happened in Gibraltar. But to go out, and I tweeted it on the night, I know they had an awful lot of bad luck in terms of goal line clearances and misses.
And the ref.
The referee was terrible and all that. It's still not an acceptable result. And I even heard Graham Gartland was talking on Off the Ball in the last couple of days, and he referenced something that passed my attention by in the lead up to the game, but the Foyle Cup was on in Derry, and I was actually talking to one of the lads at work today. He is a young fella that was playing for one of the teams in the Foyle Cup, and he was just going on about what like a huge event it is up there. And Derry actually, I believe, had nowhere to train in the lead up to that European game against Brunos. But Like, with the resources Derry have, I don't care. Stick them on a bus, get them to Sligo, get them to Donegal, get them somewhere to train. It's, you know, whatever happened, even if the whole team came down with food poisoning, and it was this leg to lose this tie against against Bruno's. It's just a dreadful, dreadful result.
Dreadful doesn't... It probably just starts describing it. I think the excuses and, you know, the weather away and we lost 2-0 and the pitch and the boys fell over and there was nowhere to train. This is all just like endless, you know, it's entirely irrelevant, all these excuses to go 2-0 up at home. I think it was, who got sent off? Was it Adam O'Reilly that got sent off? Can you remember?
Yeah, I think you're right. Second yellow, wasn't it?
Yeah. I can't actually remember him getting sent off at all. It was almost a week ago and we watched a shocking amount of football. But whatever way you slice it, it's not good enough.
Yeah.
By any stretch. And everything, you know, on you know, you make a mistake and there's reasons or excuses. Neither of those apply here. You know, it's just there's things that you have to do, and in a competition like that where there's a lot, not a, particularly a lot on the line, but what could be an okay season? Yes, they're still in the league, and that would be a great in the league, a shout for a league title, and that would be a wonderful achievement. Make no mistake, I think what they've won like 1 in 30 years or something like that, as someone was pointing out on Twitter during the week. You have to be doing better than that against a team like that. That's their first, I think that's Bruno's first ever triumph in a European tie.
Yeah.
And it came against Derry. Derry are now a statistic.
Yeah.
Last year we were talking about Kerry and Athlone being the statistic. Now Derry are a statistic and they should be embarrassed. And I don't think it's acceptable. And even like we'd say, we were texting there on Sunday about the Pat's Derry game and you thought the crowd wasn't great. I can see why. I think there's a lot of maybe tiredness or jadedness and around this Derry team. There's so much expected from them based on the personnel that are there. And then you get knocked out of Europe against, I don't want to call them a pub team, but a team that originated from a pub. It's shocking. Mm. And yes, they had a great result on Sunday against Pats, but like,
They really needed that, but that's only like
well, jeez, we didn't get embarrassed twice.
Yeah, that's
all
talking,
that is.
You were talking about their league position there. For me, they have to win the league now this season, Derry, or this season is a failure. They have to go and win the league. Even if they win the cup and don't win the league, that won't be enough, in my opinion. Sunday was a cup game, as we know, against Pats. Pats were dreadful. We'll come to the game later on, but Derry couldn't afford to lose that game just because they had this thing last year where they went out with Europe. No, they went out with Europe with a bit of honour about them last year, the way they went out. They went on a bit of a run, went out on penalties, very unlucky, and then lose to Pats on penalties a few days later. And it was just so deflating that week for Derry because they felt like they should have got so much more out of it. Whereas this week, the embarrassing exit in Europe, if they followed that up by getting turned over at home, the very first hurdle in the cup, I do think that could have derailed their league season. Now, Rory Higgins didn't agree with me when I put that point on before the Bruno's game. And to be fair, he spoke with the character and players and they showed their character on Sunday when they...
To a degree.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that's fine. They showed a bit of character on Sunday, bounced back, beat a very poor Pats team, right? That's grand. But
yeah,
winning the cup is not good to Derry, right? If they can do the double, that's great. But winning the cup and not winning the league won't be enough for Derry this season to put a shine on the season now after the way they went out of Europe. They have to go and win the league, and I'm sure Derry fans would agree with me on that.
I think so as well. But like, they beat I don't want to say nobody, right? But like, if they went out and bet Longford 3-0 on Sunday, like, Pats were so poor and so far off it. And I think, did you tell me the other night that they stayed on...
Yeah, they stayed the night before in the City Hotel in Derry. Lovely spot. I've stayed there a few times myself, but that seems a bit extravagant, doesn't it?
Neck like a jockey's bollocks then to come out and put in a performance like that on Sunday then. Yeah. Against a team, what they should have been looking at them was... Pat should have been looking at them boys like, right, these boys are hurting.
Yeah, blood
in
the water.
Bury them. Let's bury them. Let's kill them. and they didn't show up at all. But we're not finished on Derry yet. You interviewed or were at the press conference last week, and mm-hmm. you're talking about character, and Rory sounded like a man under pressure, and he kind of chirped back at you as like talking about character in the dressing room and stuff like that. Well, it was characterless on Friday or on Thursday. They only brought some of their character back against, as you said, a shocking Pats performance. And I don't think they would have been, would they have beaten like someone worse than Pats?
Ah, look, anymore. You can only beat what's in front of you. I don't really want to get into that type of territory, to be honest.
It was
a good second half performance from Derry the other night. They actually opened up on Pats and they could have scored a lot more than three. And it was like, well, why can't you do this all the time? That's what Derry need to go and carry into the rest of the league season. Now they need to go and win the league, because we've spoken about it time after time. We're sick of talking about the players they have, the squad they have. They should be doing a lot more than going out of Europe at the first hurdle against a team from Gibraltar. And it's as simple as that. On Pats, Gary, as we said there, the performance on Sunday in the Brandywell was absolutely shocking. They've got FC Vaduz now on Thursday night. Do we give them any hope of getting through this tie? Because a bit like Derry, Pat's season kind of rides on this as well, because the league is not going to plan. We thought they might get a run in the cup with Kenny coming in. They haven't got any sort of a bounce since Kenny's gone in at all.
Really,
if anything, performances have maybe even got worse. And I'm not putting that down to Stephen Kenny. I think he's made some changes within the squad already. I think he's probably going to need a lot more time than we thought. I think this Pat's team is just a lot worse than we thought. And we're guilty of falling into, in pre-season, we thought this Pat's team could go and challenge for a league title. And I know John Daly has come out and said since, you know, this was the squad I was expected to challenge with, and since Kenny's come in, everyone said, oh well, the squad's not good enough. So I kind of see where Daly's coming from there. I have a bit of sympathy for him. He was the player, I suppose, that brought these lads in. It's just not a good squad for whatever reason. It's not working, the chemistry isn't there. I think there's maybe a few players that have been around Pats for a while that maybe is it time to move a few of them on, because there's a couple of big names there that are not performing. So it'd be interesting to see what Kenny does in the next couple of windows that he has there. But just on this one, like, do you think that they can find something? Can Kenny work his magic in Europe?
I think it's very difficult to, like, obviously the hope is there, but it's very difficult to, like, pinpoint how they're going to do that. Obviously with Stephen Kenny, he's probably the most experienced manager in the, well, probably Stephen Bradley has a good shot on that as well, to be fair. But obviously Stephen Kenny broke a few ceilings on his way there. So, you know, it's good to see that, or not good to see, but like, he has the history of it. I'm not sure if it's going to be a runner here, though. I think there's I don't know, is it like a rot within the team?
Yeah.
Like, there's players that you're expecting a lot more from, and they are dirt, like rubbish. Not saying rubbish players, but putting in rubbish performances.
Yeah.
And you're looking online, and like, I know, as we say many times, that there's not a, you know, you wouldn't want to put too much stock into the immediate online reaction to a loss like that. But there's like, there's a lot of hardy chislers of Pats fans that are going at it a long time. And there's a lot of talk about lads going through the motions.
Yeah.
Picking up a paycheck. This type of yarn. And I'm not saying, just saying that it's yarn, but we're just seeing a lot of it these days.
And like,
I struggle to see how Kenny's going to change that.
Yeah, because there's players there that were there under Clancy, under Daly, and now under Kenny, and they're still not putting it in. And I think back to Roy Keane when he was talking about some of the United players. He said they threw Mourinho under the bus, they'll throw Solskjaer under the bus too. And he was proven to be right. And
yeah,
I'm not saying that there's past players trying to throw anyone under a bus, but I think there's players in that dressing room need to have a good hard look at themselves, because John Daly won an FAI Cup. He can't be that bad of a manager. Tim Clancy is a solid League of Ireland manager. He can't be that bad of a manager. And Stephen Kenny certainly isn't that bad of a manager, although he has his obviously has his detractors from his time at Ireland. But at League of Ireland level, there's no better CV out there. So I think
part of it is,
will he move on some big names at that club if he's willing to take
Oh no, I think he's definitely willing to take that risk, and I think he'll get back to do so no matter who he gets rid of or brings in or whoever. But I think one of the things a friend of mine said something to me, this is about 15 years ago and I'll never forget it. Some other egot did something stupid, and after, my friend was saying he just wasn't sorry enough. And I get that feeling from Pats. A 3-0 hammering with a 2-week prep time the night before, and dinner before, and all the prep and all the this and that and the other, and we're looking forward to Europe, and then you get hammered 3-0 against a team that just lost 3 or 4 days beforehand against a team from Gibraltar. And I don't... Are Pat's players hurting over this? Enough. I'm not saying that they need to, act like a fan and, be annoyed for a week about it.
Mm.
But, are they feeling any pain from this? I don't see it. I don't see enough of that pain on the field. And that's frustrating to see. And I can only imagine how frustrating it is for a Pats fan to be watching that going on in front of them. I'd be pissy.
Mm. I'll tell you, one manager who was hurting at the weekend despite his team winning was Damien Duff. Gave a very, very spicy interview to club media after the game. You were at that game, Brian. We'll talk about that later when we get to the FAI.
Yeah, and we also need to study my psyche for going to these games, by the way, but maybe that's a pod in itself.
But just on Shell, just to round up the European side of things for now, they've got FC Zurich on Thursday night. Do we give them any just final word on Pats? You didn't really give me an answer in the end. Can they get through that tie? Can they get through that tie against Vaduz?
Look, I know nothing about Vaduz except what I learned about them in 2004.
They're in the group stages of the conference, I think, last season.
I think maybe I'm being overly optimistic, which is totally against my entire being. But why not? Do you know what I mean? Like, I was looking at, I was trying to be positive about these teams in Europe. I was trying to, even last week, I was looking at Derry. Yeah, why not? Why can't they just go and do it? Why can't they put 5 past these boys? Now, they obviously let me down again. But why can't Pats do that? Why can't Shells do that?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're getting a few home truths about the quality of our football and comparing ourselves to European sides. But I don't want to think like that, genuinely. I really don't.
Can they do it, Pats? Let's move this on. Can they get through that tie?
Yes.
Okay. Shells and Zurich. If I was going to be confident about any side, I think it's Shells. And that's just because they won't give away goals like what we've seen tonight with Rovers. Just Damien Duff will not allow that to happen.
Oh, he won't. He.
But this is again a big step up in class. Zurich are group stage regulars in European competitions. And again, I'm sure if you drill down into the finances of this club, you'll find that they have much greater resources than Shelburne can. And this is at a time when probably Shells have a bit more cash than they've had in the last 20 years or so. But this won't be easy at all. But Shells are the one side that maybe could cause an upset in Europe. That's just the feeling I have. And I'd say a lot of League of Ireland fans probably agree with that.
So are they going to do it? What leg is it on Thursday? Home or away?
That's a good question again. They're away on Thursday night. So they need to do what Rovers did out in Iceland, keep it tight and then bring it back to Talca.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, die in a ditch over there.
I give them a chance. I'm going to give them a chance. Second leg at home. I give Shells a chance of causing the upset. If anyone's going to cause an upset, it'll be Shells.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly it.
We'll move on to the FAI Cup. I'll just spin through the results and we can kind of pick off the games as we go. We'll start with the Dublin Derby. Bowes 1, Rovers 0. And you were actually at this one, so we'll start there.
Oh, do we have to? Poor game, to say the least. I was looking forward to this game. Bowes Rovers, particularly with Rovers off the back of such a positive result in Europe, I thought this was going to be a bit more of an exciting game. Hopefully, I was looking for a few red cards, a few melees of some description, just a bit of bite, a bit of fire, a bit of excitement. and completely fell flat. Very disappointing spectacle, maybe. Big crowd and everything like that. It was a penalty.
I suppose that can happen with derby games. Were both deserving winners?
I don't think either team deserved it. I think Stephen Bradley even said it. I think I saw the interview on Friday. He was quite disappointed with the game as a whole, and I think he said something along the lines that neither team deserved to get through. Bows were okay. Don't think either team did really enough to win the game. Davoy made his second debut. He was okay. He probably hasn't played enough football in the last little while. A lot of hopping around running, these really beautiful crisp balls back to the centre back. You know, this type of stuff, like really nice passes back to nothing. There was a lot of that going on, and maybe that's probably a slight on Bowes, which is unfair because obviously they're not going through a great time at the moment in the league, and they need to be a bit more conservative. But at the same time, it's still a cup game against your biggest rivals. You need to do something. They did enough. It was a deserved penalty. Stupid. I can't remember who it was that took down Tierney. But some nice play and a good penalty from Dale Rooney to give Bowes the win. Not a game we're talking about.
Yeah, another game not worth talking about because we already have Derry 3, Pats 0. So we'll move on to the next one. Galway 6, Longford Town 0. I watched this one the other night in the office. After about 20 minutes, I think I was getting ready to switch it off, but my Longford loyalties made me sit through the 90 minutes. It's kind of the result I expected. I think I predicted 4-0 on the pod last week, and I said I'd kind of be happy if it was only that. It was just total massive, massive golfing class here.
Yeah, look. Probably, I don't know, would that result happen last year? Probably not. Poor season for Longford Town, to say the least. I don't know, was it you that tweeted it? It was like people are surprised or disappointed with this result. It's like a team that's going quite well in the Premier Division, going up against at home against a team bottom of the Premier or bottom of the First Division. What's going to happen? I didn't see much of this. I didn't see any of this game at all, actually. I definitely wasn't going to look through the highlights even.
Yeah, well, look, it could have been a lot more than 6. It could have been double digits of that. But I suppose for people that haven't maybe been following Longford that closely this season, they're probably just surprised to see, because like Longford and Galway have had some great duels in recent years and playoffs and all the rest. So to see 6-0 and then see where Longford are in the division, a lot of people have been asking what's going on at Longford. And it's something we've kind of covered on the pod in recent times. It's probably something we'll cover again as the season goes on. But it's just a sign of where Longford are at the moment. And Galway have really improved since last season. Again, we didn't think they'd have such a good season in the Premier, but they're flying and they've got a good chance of going deep in this FAI Cup. Wilton United 2, Carrigaline 1, Treaty United 0, Kilbarrack 0. We almost had a non-league team get a big result, but Treaty squeezed through on penalties. Their young goalkeeper was the star of the night.
Yeah, decent results. Like you don't want to be going out to non-league opposition, of course. Bit of a scare for Treaty, and to be fair to Kilbarrack, they had some chances during the game. Could have got ahead. But look, it wasn't to be. And I suppose those are the fine margins when you know your non-league team coming up against league opposition. It's not. It's never easy. But it's. They're surely proud to get it down to penalties at the very least.
Yeah, Michael Dyke, the name of the goalkeeper. I know, speaking to a couple of people down in Limerick this week, they rate him really highly. So yeah, might be one to keep an eye on. But good to see the non-league teams were a bit more competitive in the second round of the Cup this year. Cockhill took the lead down in the RSC before Waterford came back to win by 2-1. Ring Mahon were just edged out by Athlone, in Athlone by 1-0. Was there any other... Gorey were well beaten by UCD. Wayside got a goal against Wexford. A couple of encouraging results there for some of the non-league sides, because these have generally been very, very one-sided games in the last 10 years or so. As I said, Waterford 2, Cockhill 1, Cove 0, Kerry 2. That was a bit of a surprising result. Cove went down to 10 men, which didn't help their cause either.
No, certainly not. It wasn't ideal. I think I called this, didn't I? I think I said Kerry would go through.
I have the thing in front of me here from last week.
You have the paper.
Yeah, you did. Fair play. You went 2-1, yeah.
Yeah, there you go, huh? Not just the hat rack. yeah, no, great result for Kerry. Another and a great draw for them as well.
Yeah.
Went for a few points after the Bulls game on Friday to try and, you know, get rid of that game out of my brain. And we were actually talking about going to Kerry, flying down like we did last year. So amazing that I came out of the hat like that. But great opportunity maybe for Bulls to go a bit deeper.
Yeah, that'll be a wild night down in Kerry.
I will, yeah. Actually, I think the
playing loads of Bulls. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Playing loads of Bulls fans landing. I'm lucky enough they don't sell drink on the domestic flight, as I found out. I think the air hostess looked at me like I was some raging alcoholic that I wanted a can of beer for a 30-minute flight from Dublin to Kerry last year.
I'm very nervous. Very nervous.
Yeah, that'll be a wild away in Mount Hawke Park in a few weeks' time. Athlone 1 ring, Mahon 0. Athlone just doing enough to squeeze through, but they're through. Yep. Get the next round of the cup. They'll be delighted with that. Drogheda 2, Dundalk 1. I was keeping an eye on this one while I was watching the Longford game as well. The Dundalk goalkeeper here, the new chap, I'll have to get his name. It's gone out of my head. Yeah, he really made a mess of the opening goal in this one.
A pure Hames. I had to watch that a couple of times in the highlights. I didn't really understand what happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's trying to catch it with one hand or what he's trying to do. Is if he was in any doubt at all, tip it over the crossbar.
Yeah, but there was not enough pace in the ball for him to be in any doubt, really.
Mm.
Catch it. And that was a catchable ball with one hand. It was you know, it was just looping in on top of him. So I don't know what he was thinking.
Felix Benjamin Goddard.
Oh, yes, correct. Yeah, look, these things happen.
Great name, the goalkeepers in the league at the minute. That chap the town have signed has a great name too.
Harry Halvax.
Yes.
And then who was the keeper there?
There was a lad on the bench the other night with a triple barrel name, was there?
Killian Campion Wigglesworth, I think.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah. God bless Ian. Well, actually, he doesn't put the names on the backs of the town jerseys, but God bless him if he had to. Kind of hard to know what really to make of that. Like, does that mean anything for Drogheda at all? Like, what would you know, cover off them getting relegated in cup terms? Nothing really.
No,
and this is only a kind of distraction.
Well, would you take winning the FAI Cup and going down? There's a question for Drogheda fans, because I think if they do go down, I think they'll be fairly strongly fancied to bounce straight back up next season with the resources that they now have.
Yeah, and you know, probably the weaker set of teams that are currently in the first division at the moment as well. So like, there's no major, you know, full time team like, let's say, Galway and Waterford had to contend with last year. There's none of that going on.
Hmm.
I don't know. We had the same situation in 2007, if you remember.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, you were there.
The RC, the must have been
RDS.
The RDS with the ponies jump.
And I don't know. I wouldn't have taken winning the cup.
No, that was very different, though, wasn't it? Town were robbed that year through technicalities and all the rest of staying up.
That's one way of looking at it.
Like, if it did get. They did start getting cut adrift over the next few weeks, which I don't think is likely because the league's so condensed. Then I think, you'd probably take an FAI Cup win and bounce back next season. It's nice to win a First Division too.
Like you have for no one can take a cup away from you. You know,
that's it.
You know, you have the his. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, we had a crap season when we went down, but Jesus, that cup was amazing. You'll always have that. So maybe I'm being
They've got a great draw in the next round, Drogheda, too. They've got a non-league side, so they have a chance of going deep in it. But okay. I think deep down, yes, they probably, if they could swap it for the 3 points in the Louth Derby the week before, then they most certainly would
have. Put your face off, yeah.
Good to see that the Louth Derby went off smoothly. There was a big security presence in place, so it seemed to keep everyone in order, which was good to see. Ed Irvine came off the bench for Dundalk, got an assist for the goal. Luke Dennison, another ex-town man, was in goal for Drogheda. He had a quiet game, but he got done for that goal for Dundalk. He's come out into no man's land. Loop and header goes in, and Dundalk for a couple of minutes thought they might have the chance of forcing extra time, but a really good impact from Dervin off the bench. What do you make of his signing? Bit of a surprise, because he had started the season so well for Galway.
Started the season so well for Galway. I don't think he's played in the last few weeks, though.
No.
Was there a bit of a lull there?
The red card, and I think he got hard to get back in then.
Yeah, but I think that was always going to be the case, no matter who was coming in there. Like we talked a few weeks ago about Patrick Hickey. Had a really good season last year for Athlone, but he was coming up against a really, really, really strong midfield that had started off so well in the division, in the Premier Division. It was never going to be easy to displace anybody in that. But look, there's an opportunity for A. Has he probably found it hard to settle? Maybe in the last little while? Or since he left Longford?
I spoke about it earlier in the season when I seen him playing for Galway in Dundalk when he was playing out on the right wing, and I thought that
was a
brilliant bit of management from John Caulfield, because, as we've spoken about before, there's probably no bigger barrel of energy in the league than Ed Irvine. He will run and run and run, and he has got quality. I mean, he put in he scored in that game down in Dundalk with a header, which was very unlike him. But there was other games I remember talking about here where he whipped balls right across the 6-yard box for tap-ins. So he's got quality in wide areas. But he came on in the centre of the park where we kind of used to seeing him with Longford the other night. And he did really well. He got on it. He was getting the ball forward and got the assist. But I'd love to speak to either A or particularly John Daly, who signed him. What's the plan there? It's going to be hard to break in as a winger at Dundalk because you've got O'Kane, you've got Horgan. They're very much the first choice. And we've spoken about Dundalk maybe lacking that little bit of energy in the middle. So does Daly see him having that type of role, or does he see him as a impact sub off the bench? But if he is, then why would you go from Galway to Dundalk? There's a lot of questions there. It's an interesting signing, and we'll see how it works out over the next while. Moving on in the Cup, Pike Rovers 3, Middleton 1. That sets up an all Limerick tie that I'm going to talk about a little bit later on. Cork 1, Harps 0. We won't touch on that one because it was pretty much a repeat of the league game. So yeah, very, very boring. Ballyferm 3, Leeds 1. Gorey 0, UCD 4. Good result for UCD. Wayside 1, Wexford 3. Bray 0, Shells 1. We'll come to that in a second because you were there. And finally, Sligo Rovers 3, Cove Wanderers 0. Cove Wanderers now managed by Stephen Henderson. And they kept tight for a long time, but Sligo pulled away in the last few minutes. But
yeah,
you were at the Carlisle. We talk about Duffer's interview. Was it as bad as Duffer painted it?
So the first thing, I was sitting actually unintentionally, I was quite late. I just got there before the game kicked off, and
kickoff was delayed too, wasn't it?
Very slow getting in. Bray could really do it well, I suppose. They only do that once or twice a year, but they could have done with resolve, or you know, making that a bit quicker.
The last couple of times I've been up to Bray, I've been there about an hour before kickoff, and the gates haven't even been open, and there's been people standing outside wondering what the hell is going on. It's strange.
Well, they're busy people.
They have that new fan zone inside as well, because like the last time I went up early and I checked the Twitter to see what time fan zone was open so I could go in early or whatever and get a cup of tea, and I stood outside for ages. So strange.
Well, I had a pint at half time. And look, it's a lovely little set up there. They've got good view of the pitch, and they keep people away from the barriers so you can have your pint in peace and watch the game.
Is it draft or is it a can?
Draft.
Oh.
They're the slowest draft on the planet. but yeah, it was fine. I sat behind Duffer. As I said, unintentionally, it was just the way that.
And you couldn't interview him while you were there, no? Then people had someone else to listen to other than me and you this week.
No, wasn't able to interview him, but he was extremely frustrated from very early on, and right, I could totally understand why. The pressure that was being put under the Bray back four was pretty much non-existent. And my reading of it was, because he was so pissed off so early on in the game, it was like, this was the game plan that we were supposed to do, and 5 minutes in, we're not doing it. And I could see
particularly with that stuff going on, and particularly players that, like, would say haven't had a chance up to now. And he mentions that in this, like, insanely long interview that that was given. Like, we don't need to hear 7 minutes from Damien Duff. As I said many times before, welded to his arse, no matter who it is. And at the end of the day, he's box office, make no mistake, but Jesus Christ, he's a League of Ireland football manager at right now. And, you know, not everything he says is perfect. And we don't need to hear it all the time. But anyway, I could totally see his frustration. The game itself was dire, beyond one of the worst games I've encountered in the last while. No excitement, no passion. Not I wouldn't say passion even, but like, no, let's try something. Let's see what happens. Let's give this a go. There was none of that going on. It was pretty much go through the motions and see where we go from there. Sean Boyd got a goal, I think it was about 15, 16 minutes in. Brutal defender. I don't know where the second centre back went. He went off walking somewhere. And Boyd
really brutal defending, you don't say.
Yeah, unfortunately so.
Shock.
And Shells went ahead. But look, it was a great crowd. It was a good day. You know, lots of stuff to set it up for like a really good game, but it just never materialised. It was poor, to say the least. Which is just frustrating. Like, because, like, you know, Sunday at 3 o'clock, not a whole pile going on for a lot of people. I know there was some other sporting final going on.
The greatest game of hurling ever played, Gary. prophecy came true.
Yeah, well, look, that's an easy prophecy to make, because the greatest game of hurling happens every single weekend. But it just went down, and it's handy for me where I live on the dart straight there. And look, it was just disappointing. I think maybe on one hand, and Duffer mentioned it, like, they were preparing for the game immediately after the game in Gibraltar. It was just like, right, we just need to get through this. And sometimes it's okay to put in a bad performance. Maybe Duffer needs to maybe be okay with that as well.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, they got through, but they've got a tough tie in the next round. Now they're at home, but they do take on Galway in an all Premier Division tie. The other third round draw, Sligo Rovers against UCD, Waterford against Athlone, Ballyferm against Wexford, Drogs against Wilton, Treaty against Pike. I'm going to talk about that one in a second. Kerry against Bowes, because we spoke about Kerry and Bowes. That would be a great trip for the Bowes fans. And Cork City against Derry City down in Turner's Cross. But I got a message today from a listener based down in Limerick, and I won't give out his name, but he wanted us to raise this on the pod. He said, to put context as to why Treaty and Pike Rovers is the tie of the round, there is an enormous disconnect between senior football and junior football in Limerick, which we kind of already knew, but anyway. There's a bitterness from the top few junior clubs towards senior football. They can't understand why players turn down 4 to 5 figure sums. And he says, yes, 5 figure sums to try their arm at League of Ireland. They are also among the people who think junior clubs can mix it with the League of Ireland. Treaty need to win, not just for the county and the region, but to put the argument to bed. we can definitely get behind that,
but like, because we've been saying it years, there's always a few lads that chirp up all the time around this time. It's like, oh, definitely mix it. It's just not. and like, you know,
I remember Longford playing Pike in the Cup a good, probably 2013, 14, 15, when Davy O'Sullivan was in his prime. And, you know, I remember we drew this team and none of us knew anything about them. We were looking them up and they won all these junior leagues or whatever down in Limerick, and they were winning this cup every year and that cup. And you're like, oh, sure, these boys must be decent. And then they came down and we bet them 5 or 6-0. They were one of the worst teams I ever seen. But I think I remember that day, people were saying, oh, well, like, half their team's on holidays, they have 11 lads off or whatever. But, like, you know, you can say you want to mix it, but if you're not willing to put the sacrifice in, then you're not going to mix it. So we'll see what type of team turns up against Treaty. It'll be an interesting cup tie for sure. But who wins the cup from here, Gaz? It's opening up nicely for Drogheda. I think they were one of my outside fancies. I said whoever came through that Drogheda and Dog tie could have a good run.
Right, no.
Derry will beat Cork.
Oh, that sorry, the only fixture, the only result of the draw I saw today was Kerry and Bowes. Derry should beat Cork. But why wouldn't Cork beat them?
No. No. Golf. Big golf.
Okay.
Huge golf.
Who did Galway get?
You're not listening. Galway got shells in Talca.
Oh, I did. I actually saw that. Yeah, no, I wasn't listening to you.
One word answers on these. Sligo against UCD. Sligo Rovers.
Sligo, yeah. Oh, no. Sorry, no. There's no one word answer in that. There is a lot of brain, you know, there's a lot of history there between Sligo and UCD.
There is. Waterford at Lone. Waterford, even though they seem to be feeling fairly weak inside, I think at Lone could give that a good rattle, but in the RSC, probably a little bit too big of a hurdle. Ballyfermot at Wexford. Drogs Wilton, Drogheda. Treaty Pike, Treaty. Kerry Bowes. Bowes should do it, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Will it be awkward at all?
Awkward? Yeah, I don't know. I can see it being a heap of dirt down there next to Kelleher bangs in an equaliser and it goes in extra time or something like that. But I just think they should be doing it. Like, there's just no excuse at that point.
Cork, Derry. I'm going Derry anyway all day.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Shells, Galway. That's going to be, depending on Europe and all the rest, that'll be a tough
one. Never mind, it got me dead wrong.
Yeah, these games aren't for another month or so, but I'll go with Shells, but it'll be a tough game, that.
Yeah, definitely. I think Shells will squeeze it as well.
Right, I think Derry will reach the cup final, and if Drogheda get a kind draw, I think they could go to the final as well.
Derry can go to the final?
Yeah, I'm going for Derry, Drogheda final.
Oh, way out.
Without knowing the makeup of the draw, obviously, that's what I'm going to go for.
Right, no, I don't say that, but fair enough.
Give me a final.
Derry and Bowes. Derry to win.
Oh, no doubt there. Right, there is league games coming up this week. It's a reduced Premier Division schedule due to Europe and everything else. So we'll get stuck into these. Julian Canny, Galway United fan. He's been on this pod numerous times. He's going to play on behalf of the listeners. I still didn't get around to updating them scores from the week before, but I did update this week. So
Busy man.
Here's the latest scores, but there is other scores to be added to this. So I'm still bottom on 86, but I was the top performing player last week with 5 points. You got 3 points last week. That brings you on to 89. The listeners, Stephen was playing the Shells fan. He got 4 points to bring the listeners on to 92. So it's 89 Gary, 92 the listeners, 86 me. Let's get stuck into the Premier Division. Drogheda United against Waterford FC. Drogheda, great result in the cup against Dundalk. Can they carry that into the league now and get a big 3 points to keep their survival hopes going?
I'm going to be kind to the to Drogheda here. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I think if anybody's going to win the game, I think it's Waterford. Even with the lads that were brought in. What do you think? What are you going for?
Yeah, it wasn't. It's that loud derby the other night wasn't great. 2-1 Waterford.
Yeah, you've twisted my arm.
You're going 2-1?
Yeah, 2-1.
Okay, Julian's going 2-2. Bowes against Dundalk. This is a really interesting game. Bowes, can they bounce into the league now and pick up some form after that great cup result? Dundalk, bad cup result the weekend, but great league result the game before that. And Dundalk will be eyeing Bowes as a team that they can drag into a proper relegation dogfight. We've spoken so much on this pod about Bowes and their poor league form.
Yeah.
I think Dundalk can get something, but the lack of a striker at the moment is absolutely killing them.
It is. Can I just make a separate point? We have to stop calling relegation battles relegation dogfights. Please.
Jimmy Gullum must surely nearly be back now.
Yeah, but like, it's not as if like it's Luis Suarez that's coming back. Like.
True.
Come
on for the last few minutes against Drogheda in the league. So
I think it's going to be a poor game, but I think Bowes will edge it. I'm going to go for 2-1 to Bowes.
He actually played the 83. I didn't watch the start of the game. He played 83 minutes in the cup. As you said, yeah, he's not fantastic, Gullum, but they need a focal point up there. So if he's fully fit again, it helps a little bit. But they definitely, they brought in Dervin, obviously. They brought in a keeper. They brought in some other players in the window, Dundalk. And fans are still, when's the striker going to sign? When are we getting a striker? So it's something they really need to address. I think this will be a bit of a non-event. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. It could even be 0-0.
0-0.
Yeah, going 1-1, but I wouldn't be surprised. Right. 0-0. I think this would be a bit flat. What did you give me a prediction?
I said 2-1 Bulls. It's just there was just a bit. It was such a poor game on Friday, but I don't know. I think they'll just take a bit of that momentum out of beating their Rovers rivals and getting through in the cup again. So
Julian going 1-1 here.
Yeah, no, it's not. 2-1 Bulls.
Okay. Sligo Rovers against Galway, the Connacht Derby.
The Connacht Derby.
Great event the other night for Sligo Rovers. Everton came to town and were packed with Premier League, like, first teamers. And Sligo were, what, two? Were they 2-0 up one stage? Ended up 3-3 the game in the end, I think, if I'm not wrong. But packed out showgrounds, great event. They've picked up a bit of form recently. Cup win at the weekend. Things are feeling good around Sligo all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I think, why can't they beat Galway? Very positive few weeks for Sligo, make no mistake. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Sligo.
Fair play. Yeah, and that was a young Sligo Rovers team that was out.
Was.
Had the cup game coming up, and 2-0 up against Premier League team like the likes of Calvert-Lewin and Seamus Coleman, obviously, and numerous other boys that are on God knows how much money were in that Everton team. So it was a great occasion for those young players at Sligo. Well done to them. Galway obviously will be happy after filling their boots against Longford. I'm going to go for another draw here. I know Galway don't score huge amounts of goals, but I think we might actually get some goals in this one. I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2.
Julian going for a 2-0 win to his team, Galway. So he's following the same formula that you do when it comes to predictions. Right, we'll get stuck into the first division. We've got a full round of games coming up there this weekend. Bray Wanderers against Wexford FC.
Bad couple of weeks for Bray, like losing against Longford on one hand, not ideal. And then following
that's a
that
brutal up. Result when you look at what Longford have done since.
Yeah.
Lucky to get out of Kerry with the point.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw here. I think probably Wexford will go ahead and won't be able to close it out. I think it'll be another poor game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Wexford here. Maybe slight signs that they're turning a corner. Gonna go 2-1, and Julian go for 2-1 into Bray. So, difference of opinions there. Cove against Athlone. Cove, disappointing cup result. Athlone through to the next round, albeit maybe not overly convincing, but Athlone are flying in the league, let's not forget.
You go first there.
I'll go with Athlone. 2-1.
I'm going to be more kind to Cove. I think they'll be gutted with that performance, or go with that result anyway. I didn't see much of the game. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay, Julian going 2-0 to Athlone. Treaty against Finn Harps.
Tough game here, particularly after, I know the Treaty went 120 minutes, but
Harps had to go to Cork twice.
Twice in a week, yeah. And two tough losses, one after the other.
Legs are empty here. 0-0.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is going to... that's exactly it. Just, is there anything in the tank at all? 0-0 is right.
Okay, Julian goes 1-0 to Treaty. Cork City against Kerry, the Munster derby.
Cork haven't been exactly flying, have they?
No. Still getting it done, though.
Getting it done, getting the results out, you know, getting it over the line. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Cork.
Okay, I'm going to go 1-0 Cork, and Julian going 2-0 Cork there as well. And finally, Longford Town against UCD. Is this season over yet? Please?
The big game. The big one of the weekend.
Yeah. You say so, guys.
Yeah. 1-0 to Longford Town.
Ah, good man. Fair play to you. Yeah. Julian going 3-1 to UCD, and I actually think that might be the scoreline, but I don't want to follow them. I'll gamble here and I'll go 4-1 to UCD just to try and get them 3 points in the bag. Predictions League.
Right.
Try and pull myself off the bottom. Right, let's go to the hotline, Gary.
Great.
We've got a good uptake on the old hotline this week. Kyle Kane, he doesn't even send a caption with this. He just quote tweeted the tweet from Limerick FC this morning. Welcome, Dennis Lukens is their new director of football. God knows, Kyle. Sam, looking for some movement on the food question. Well,
we're very busy men, very busy people.
I asked our listeners for help and no help forthcoming. No help. Gitsu is having a really tough time watching Pats at the minute. Asked for my salad review. He was winding me up on my own Twitter the other day. I was out at Dundalk Stadium for the Greyhounds the other night and put up a picture of a salad, and he said, please don't start doing salad reviews. It's probably just a sign that me and Gary haven't been to as many away games this season as normal, because the kebab reviews, I think we've only done one or two on the pod this year. So there you go.
Last one was Kerry away, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was we had to go all the way out of Kerry. We had to go to Tipperary for that kebab.
No, we went to Limerick. Jesus Christ. You drove that man, Egan. It wasn't Tip, no.
It was Tip, you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Because I remember saying, oh, Jack Brady's from here, or blah, 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 whatever.
Who?
Jero O'Brien, who's winning the cup after today's draw? I think Derry might win it.
Yeah.
They're
and
a good
they
cup team, aren't they? No. They need to win the league. Cup's no good.
Oh, no. Yeah. But like, Cross that ground.
Ronan, why are Derry agreeing to a Monday night game versus Shells, less away support and an extra day for them to rest after Europe? I don't know. You'd have to ask Derry that one, Ronan. I'm not 100% sure. Kieran, hopefully you waited for the FAI Cup draw before recording. We did, Kieran, so I hope you've enjoyed our run through on that. Sean, I don't want to draw too much attention to it, but why does no one talk about how good Ryan Kelleher is? Kerry FC striker.
I don't know, he's having a good season.
He had a good season last season too. I think did he get 10 last season when they were rooted to the bottom?
Did he? I
think so, yeah.
He's a real
nuisance, but he's technically
he's a pain in the hole, well, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just and don't it, do you think he could he step up to a Premier Division club?
No. Don't think so. I think we're seeing a proper and we might come on to it later after Tim Clancy's comments.
Yeah, we will be coming to that, don't worry.
Yeah.
He's still only young, he's 23.
Okay. Do you think he can make a step up? To what level? What position of a team? Never mind who the team is. Is he going to be in the top half of the table or bottom half?
If you're in the top team, you're going to get more chances. We could very much end up with egg in our face in a couple of years. I don't know if he's going to be Premier Division level.
Nor do I. Afraid not.
Okay. He's definitely scored 5 against Longford next to in which of these three teams can you see in the top flight first? Wexford, Bray or Athlone?
None of them. That's it. The golfing class is unbelievable.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. Don't think people
Athlone are having a great season, but like there is an awful feeling that it's built on sand, the whole foundation there.
Yeah, but you're looking into Athlone there. Like, forget about who they are. If you just look at them on the pitch, no one's close. No one is close. And
to been in the Premier.
Yeah.
No, I'd agree. Fully agree. KG, can Kenny turn it around at Pats? I know we kind of touched on this briefly, but
well, like Jesus Christ, what are they going to do? Get rid of him?
Oh, you had someone tweet me today saying that they could see him going by the end of this. That's not going to happen. This year's a write-off. This year's a write-off. It's going, I think.
Sorry.
I know.
Sorry, go on.
I love this league.
Just to me, I had someone tweet me today that he's gone. Oh, Jesus.
We've talked about Bowes and Reynolds, how they need several windows. Kenny needs several windows as well. There's a rot that's set in there.
There is a rot, and it's not only attributes and ability that he needs to get rid of. He needs to get rid of a few lads that don't want it.
Yeah. Aidan M says, were Kilbarrack magnificent or treaty just useless? Hope their young keeper Michael Dyke gets a mention on your show. He clearly saved them from infamy.
Yeah,
we mentioned him. Look, I didn't get seeing huge chunks of the game, so I don't know, but it is encouraging to see that the non-league teams were more competitive. Right, here's another one from Git, and this is something I did want to address because it seemed to wind up an awful lot of people, and that wasn't the intention of the tweet. But he said, forgot to ask you, can you explain the ElBuzzAdi tweet? So I tweeted it out that he had signed and that money was clearly no object at St. Pat's.
Right.
I'm stating facts here. It is no object. They've brought in Stephen Kenny on a 5-year contract. ElBuzzAdi, they've signed him from AIK, and now other people are saying, oh, but what about Bo's bringing back this? Like, we'll get into the Tim Clancy stuff now. Do you have the quotes there, actually, just so I don't misquote the man?
Jesus.
Send it earlier on. Let me scroll here as quickly as I can. Oh, yeah, here we go. So Tim Clancy said in an interview with the Examiner, I think the wages that are being paid in the Premier Division at the moment are gone through the roof. You would question the sustainability of that over a long period of time. That's something you've spoken about, Gary, in terms of the losses the top clubs are making. Tim Clancy went on to say, you have clubs that are nowhere near European positions paying $2,000, $2,500, $3,000 a week to players that won't be able to get Europe next season. And I would fully, fully, fully agree with Tim Clancy. I think spending has gone through the roof in the league. Even like Dundalk, we're told, are, you know, not in a great financial position. They paid a transfer fee for Ed Irvine the other day. Now, I'd imagine it was a very nominal fee given that he would have only had a few months left on his contract, but they still were willing to put their hand in their pocket and pay a transfer fee. We're seeing more clubs doing that, which is good because it means money is swirling around the league and it's not going without out of the league. It's going from club to club, which is good. I think that's something that is encouraging, but some of the figures for players that's been quoted at the minute is incredible. And we're looking at some of the European results. Derry been the key point and case. Like, I don't think the league standard-wise is improving for the money that has been pumped into it right now. I think Tim Clancy is absolutely spot on in what he says. For me, the league has regressed over the last couple of seasons, despite a huge upsurge in spending by clubs.
So maybe this is something that we might take away. Well, we've said that a few times before and we never take it away and come back. But what I will say is the recent deal will say there was a lot of talk about Dawson Devoy going to Pats or going to Bowes.
Mm.
There was a significant offer on the table by Pats. Like, it was a large amount.
And we've seen Pat's willing to do that. They did that with Mulroney to bring him in. There was talk of them trying to get Jack Byrne last year. They're happy to have that little slush fund there to go and bring in marquee signings and such. That, again, I'm stating facts here. Money is no object. They are putting cash in, and that's good. That's great if you're a Pat's fan. That wasn't... some Pat's fans seem to take this as a
personal attack.
Yeah, this is great.
I wouldn't be like a League of Ireland fan to take a personal attack on their club, but
they've got an owner who's clearly very passionate about making Pats the best they can be, and he's backing the manager that he's brought in, and he's putting money into the squad. But at the moment, they're not getting the results for that money. But the money is there; they're putting it in. That it's as simple as that. Yeah, it wasn't me trying to wind up Pats fans or anything like that. So that answers the question in terms of the hotline. But
also, like, I'm not going to talk about figures or anything like that for the recent Devoy deal, but there was a large amount of money on the table on offer from Pats. And when you hear that going on, I was like, Jesus Christ, that's a big wage. And, you know, that's probably, you know, everything's a multi-year deal, but for some reason you can't say a 2-year deal in this league or 3-year deal is off of bullshit. But it was a significant offer. And yeah, it's
but like, you know, Pat Hooper didn't go up to Derry for buttons. All these lads coming back to Bowes, I know they talk about how much they love Bowes and how it left a great lasting impression on them. They're not going back to play for free. As it's going lower down the league, like, there's teams paying, as Clancy said, teams that aren't going to make Europe that are paying European levels of. I mentioned it last week with Bruno's Magpies when they inquired about signing Patrick Hooban and they couldn't believe how much he was on. You know, so that's why it's so disappointing to see an Irish team going out to a Gibraltar team. And Shell's only scraped through against St. Joseph's as well, let's not forget.
Yeah.
So for me, but European results, I think, are going to be grim. We've already had a few dark ones. I think we're going to have some very sobering ones over the next while. The league is not progressing despite the money that's been pumped in. So I would agree fully with Tim Clancy.
I think that's the biggest thing. And a few players have left in the last few years, and they're all back.
Yeah. Well, most of them anyway, yeah.
Plenty of them are back.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you don't have to go back through all them Jesus Twitter accounts about Irish players doing well on the continent. And, you know, you get these, you know, 3 or 4 minute clip ups of, I don't know how they even get the streams, never mind, you know, clip them up.
Some 15-year-old lad out in Brazil is after scoring 5 goals at Astro and he has a great Irish granny. Here's a showreel.
Yeah, exactly. But like, El Buzedi was going to be something. And the AIK, that was only going to be a temporary existence until he went to a bigger club on the continent. And that never happened. Now he's playing with Pats. I'm not saying that, you know, like,
yeah, that won't happen for him again. But yeah, I get your point. Yeah.
Like, I'd say Ross Tierney's back. Devoy is back. A lot of players are coming back. And I know, we'll say, particularly, not, and make no mistake, it's not as if I'm following these boys religiously when they go. If I see that they score a goal at the weekend, or if I happen to turn on the Football League highlights of a Saturday night when I'm at a real loose end, you know, that'll be great. And actually, just on that, Promise Home Share got a move to somewhere. Bristol Rovers or Bristol City, one of the Bristols anyway, from, was it Fleetwood he was with?
Yeah.
You know, and that, and Bose, to be fair to them, have a sell-on deal with that. But I don't know, it's just like, are we believing our own hype?
Codding ourselves.
Codding ourselves. In one sense, like, it's we've seen with the transfer figures that are going around, it's so easy for any of these Football League clubs, up all the way down to League Two, who are probably paying $3,000 or $4,000 a week to their squad players at their ease, coming over to Ireland. We can spend $200,000 on a lad, and if it doesn't work out, what about it?
Yeah,
it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
I know it was only a pre-season friendly the other night, but Stoke came across and bet Cork City 5-0. Now, I know that's a championship club, and people forget, oh, they're like, oh, the championship. The championship is the fourth or fifth.
It's probably the sixth or seventh league in Europe.
Yeah, it's a massive league with massive clubs, so I'm not expecting Cork City to be beating them or anything, but I think 5-0 is kind of... And look, does that mean that Sligo Rovers are on a par with Everton? No, of course it doesn't, but just... Yeah, we often talk about when we get really good League of Ireland teams, like Dundalk 2016, would they have been able to mix it in the championship realistically? I don't know.
No, probably not.
But that's where we sometimes lose the run of ourselves as League of Ireland fans when we get good results in Europe. We're like, oh yeah, they could mix in the championship in League 1 and League 2, and we forget how big these clubs actually are. So
yeah,
look, it's probably for another day, but I thought they were good comments from Tim Clancy. Yeah, Aidan has another one for us here. It's probably too late, but can you please tell any of my fellow Bulls fans who think Kerry FC might switch the venue to Dalymount that they are barking mad? Well, if Kerry do that, or they even thought about that, they may wind it up, because this is going to be a great occasion for them. So it should be a Mount Hall Park and nowhere else. Damien, thoughts on Dervin signing for Dundalk? I think we covered that earlier in the pod. So thanks for that one, Damien. Daniel Four and RT still neglecting the champions in Europe. Also with the TV schedule of Shells v Derry and Shells v Bowes, do Virgin and the league not have any optimism about Shells beating Zurich? Look, I think as League of Ireland fans, we can get offended very easily. As a TV station, they have to make a decision and commit to it. They're committing to it a way out, and if it gets postponed or whatever, because Shells do well in Europe, I'm sure they'll be as happy as anyone else. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But we spoke about RT neglecting tonight's game. That was they dropped the ball massively.
The other thing on the Virgin thing, it's very easy because they use 24/7 for their broadcast. It's very easy to take it up and take it down. Whereas RT do the whole 40,000 people and you know, total overkill on the production. So
And finally, Elon Musty, is this the worst season you've had following Longford? Yes, it is, Elon. Yes. Grim.
We've often talked about this, and I think we talked about it before. You may remember I made a comment about the two of us coming back from Kerry after that 3-0 loss that won't be repeated here. But we had a good laugh about it. There's been I don't know. Like, we'll say there's a lot of, we'll say, just from my own perspective, 2009 to 2011, there was a lot of football played that was quickly forgotten.
You're
like you mentioned that game there was a game that was cancelled and refixed against Wexford Youth, as there were at the time, yeah, and there might have been about 60 or 70 people there of a Tuesday night in City Calling at the time. So I think it's very easy for people, particularly in football terms, recency bias. Obviously, Longford Town have been...
But even then, we were never bottom of the first division.
No, that's true.
Mm.
That's very true.
And we're more invested in it now too, so it hurts a lot more. It really does hurt.
Does a bit more damage, correct. Yeah.
So look, that's the pod, ending on a nice, positive, bright note. So there you go. have we got a couple of other late tweets coming in here? Have you made the cut, folks? No. Just scutter. So...
That's it.
That's it. Wrap it up. That was the latest episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll definitely get a guest on next week, because I know it's very hard to listen to me and Gary for an hour and 10 minutes. So if you've stuck with us this far, thanks so much. It's just been a very busy week, as I said, with European games and cup games. Teams are on different training schedules and different press conference schedules and all the rest. So it was hard to get some outer voices onto the pod this week, but we'll work on that for next week. So look, as ever, thanks for your support of the show, and we will speak to you next week. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. But for this week, from Kieran and Gaz, thanks for listening. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.